Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Adam Hoag says...
Adam Hoag, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hoag. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hoag and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hoag.
Adam Hoagie or Hoag? Excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
It makes me laugh every time I hear it, but we know his name is actually... Adam Hoag. He is half of the Hoag and Johns podcast. It is on CHGO. And he joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is your listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing and Electric Football Friday. It is presented by your local Ford dealers. Adam Hoag, thanks for joining us. And now we, I think now we know. We'll play off of Robbie Triano's Open a little bit that indeed... Ben Johnson did seem a little more like a first-time head coach when we saw what happened on Monday.
Yeah, I still maintain that behind the scenes and in the building, he still comes off as a seasoned guy who's already gotten the command and respect of the players and everything. But yeah, there were moments on Monday night in that first game where, yep, yeah, he did look like a first-time head coach. I thought the revelation even in the moment I didn't mind the challenge because it seemed like the ball was punched out without any type of contact on the player. But when you later hear the rule that, you know, you can't try to take the ball out, any action trying to take the ball out of a player who's down on the ground deems that player down. Maybe that's not a rule that we all should know, but when you are the head coach, when you are one of 32 in the NFL, you should at least have a guy up there that knows that rule and tells you. And evidently, based on what Ben Johnson told us, he was being told don't challenge that, and he went against that. So at least that's how he relayed it to us this week. And if that's how it went down, then yeah, I think that was a good learning lesson for Ben Johnson in his first game. You got to trust those guys.
Yeah, and Adam, I believe that's the thing to be the most optimistic about when you're talking about going from week one to week two, is that there's a learning curve for the head coach who has proven at every level, every stop, and in his resume how smart he is. And so the belief is there that he will be the one, even if his players aren't ready to get where he wants them to be, he will make the adjustments internally to get where he needs to be as an NFL head coach, as you said, one out of 32.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a coach who's willing to point out his own mistakes and, you know, in that case, even offer up something that maybe not the rest of us all knew in the moment, you feel better about that coach's ability to adjust and fix those mistakes. And that's who this guy has been since the start. I probably have said this with you guys even at some point in the summer or maybe even last week. Like, okay, let's see what this looks like, though, when you start losing games. Because that's the ultimate test. That's when you really get to know who these guys are. And I think this week it's just one game, but we've seen a couple of things. I mean, we've seen some honesty. We've seen him protect some of his players, including Caleb Williams at times, depending on what the topic is. But we've also seen him not be afraid to call out Cairo Santos on his performance, but also take accountability for the fact that they, as a coaching staff, they should have elected to just kick the ball out of bounds. So he's put plenty of that accountability on himself, too, at the same time. So if this is how it continues, I think that puts you in a better position to handle adversity, to handle some losses, to handle some of these problems that we might continue to see here for a little bit at the start of the season.
Adam, do you think that you just brought up a great
topic, and that is the coach protecting the player, which happens all over the NFL. We've seen it with many predecessors. But do you think Ben Johnson was protecting the quarterback, Caleb Williams, when he was talking about some of the pre-snap stuff and the play calling, which Ben Johnson said, I got to call better plays to make it better and maybe easier for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, well, and that's, Gordy, I think that's my takeaway is that he's done a little bit of all of it. And what I mean by that is let's look at the delay of games, right? He said one of those was on him, that he had to get the call in faster, so they had to burn a timeout. Then he said the second one was on Caleb because, you know, they put the dish man in motion too late and they had to burn a timeout. Otherwise, that would have been a delay of game. But then he also said, you know, when it comes to the pre-snap penalties, it's a little bit of all of it.
Right.
But I think as long as a coach, as you're doing all of that, if you're sometimes calling out your players, you're frequently calling out yourself for your own mistakes, and then at times you're also getting a little coach speaky, but it adds more credence to the idea. Yeah, I'm sure that some of these pre-snap issues are everybody. I think a lot of it's Caleb, but I don't think all of those false starts were Caleb. I think there was at least one, probably the Darnell Wright one, I think is the one I'm thinking off the top of my head, that was just an offensive lineman jumping off sides, and that happens at times. So it is, no one wants to hear, oh, it's a little bit of everything, but sometimes it is. It just gets kind of annoying when that's all the coach says all the time, and he never really gives you specific examples or any type of blame on anyone, including himself, and we've seen too much of that in the past, so that's where Ben Johnson continues to be refreshing.
I agree with that, Adam. This segment with Adam Hogue is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think what Ben Johnson does a really good job of to that point is he is okay with talking about the stuff that either the league already knows about his offense or what he likes to do or what they know about the Bears. He's not afraid to say, oh, that falls under scheme, when it clearly doesn't. And again, you know, the other team actually has to stop it physically if they want to do so. Like that has been really nice to hear a coach teach, not just his team, but us as well.
Well, right. And I think an example of that would be, you know, DJ Moore in the backfield in training camp, right? Like that could have potentially been something where you're like, hey, that's not on film yet. Everybody needs to be quiet about that. It needs to be some big secret. And instead it was like, yeah, We want to get him some looks at running backs. A running back, we like his skill set. And then sure enough, in the first game, they put him out there for a few carries. And we'll continue to see that evolve. I think that's just Ben having some confidence in what his system is, what he's able to do, what he's already accomplished in this league. Maybe that confidence straddles that line between confidence and cockiness a little bit. But that's okay. I think a lot of football coaches, I think a lot of players straddle that line all the time, and that's why they're successful. So, yeah, sometimes this is a league of paranoia. You guys all know that. Sometimes these coaches get way too paranoid over too many details, and they spend too much time worrying about that they're wasting their energy on that when they should be wasting their energy on just, you know, their opponent or what the game plan should be and all this stuff, instead of worrying so much about what they're hiding. Just move forward full steam ahead. And I think that's what Ben Johnson's been, and I hope that's how it continues.
Adam Hope.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hogue, the host of the THGO Bears and the Hogue and Johns podcast, joining us on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody to talk about the Bears and the Lions coming up on Sunday. And looking at that injury report, it's real easy to get distracted by what's going on with the Bears. But to see Taylor Decker, the left tackle, not having practiced all week, do you feel like this is something that Dennis Allen could take advantage of after a strong, well, three-quarter showing in the week one loss?
Yeah, the whispers from Detroit seem to be that this is kind of planned for Taylor Decker. And that he'll probably still be a go Sunday. Again, we're talking here on Friday morning, so the final injury report with the injury designations haven't come out yet. We'll obviously continue to monitor that. I'll shift over a little bit more to what I do know, and that is I think the Bears have a pretty good advantage here on the interior of this offensive line for the Lions. I think, you know, while the Bears beefed up their interior of the offensive line by making a bunch of additions, the Lions are really in the position they're in just because of the subtractions they were forced to make. They lost Kevin Zeitler, went on to Tennessee. Frank Ragnow retires, and now they're even in the summer, they were mixing and matching and trying to try things out. Graham Glasgow ended up moving from left guard to center. Christian Mahogany is now the left guard. Tate Ratledge is a rookie at right guard. So they also, like the Bears, have three new starters when you consider Glasgow moving over a position, but it's for very different reasons. And I thought that coming out last week against the Green Bay Packers, they struggled up front. And even though the Packers didn't have Kenny Clark out there anymore, you couldn't really tell because those linebackers like Edrian Cooper were coming in free, making big plays. I think that's if TJ Edwards can play, I think that'll be big too, because it's not always just about the defensive linemen up front, but how clean those linebackers are running through there. Are they capable of reading their keys and using their eyes to hit the hole hard and make the tackle? Well, if TJ Edwards plays, I think up front, the D-line already has an advantage against those three guys for the Lions in the middle. And that's not something we've been able to say in this matchup in recent years, because that Lions offensive line has been awesome. But they've taken a step back this year. Obviously, Penei Sewell's still out there on the right side. We know that. It's going to be a tough matchup for the edge rushers. But I think on the inside, the Bears have an advantage there that could really make a big difference in this game despite their own issues, because it was glaring on the tape. I watched that Packer game live, and then I went back and watched it, and it just sort of confirmed on the coach's film everything I thought I was watching live on the TV copy, because it wasn't great for that offensive line for the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This will be 2 weeks in a row where the Bears go up against an offensive line that has an all-new interior. Obviously, Minnesota upgraded their interior, paid some guys, so it's a little bit different in that case. But, Hogue, I checked you guys out. I like to check you guys out on CHGO. I like to dabble in your post-game show, you and Carm and Braggs, and I know you guys have John's on as well. You did a good job reacting to what went on special teams and Cairo Santos and some of the coverage issues, like the initial reaction. What now, having listened to Richard Hightower, the explanations that were given, and the errors that occurred, what is your opinion of what can be fixed and what went down and what sounded good and what sounded bad from Richard Hightower?
Yeah, I mean, I think that even just watching the film, the easiest thing on the punt block is to point out just the protection error, right? I think not to sound like a coach all of a sudden, but I think it's a lot of different issues going on there that led to that block punt. I mean, one is just a straight up missing your block. That's never good. You can't have that happen. That's going to usually lead to a block or a close block. But you could sort of see it coming throughout the game. I don't know that any of those reps up front, you're really happy with the protection, because it seemed like the Vikings kept getting closer and closer and closer. And so you have to make adjustments there too as a coach. So that's where then I think some of the coaching comes into it as well. That's the type of thing that you have to be able to make in-game adjustments when you see a punt almost get blocked, or you start to feel the pressure coming. And that could also be just the way in which you call your punts, you know, calling something else to try to get the heat off. There are things you can do to prevent that punt, basically put the Vikings in a return instead of a block. And then I also, you know, I think we need to continue to track with Torrey Taylor. Is he getting the kicks off fast enough? Is it the snap? Is he taking too many steps? I don't know that it's really any of those, but these little milliseconds matter, and they all sort of end up adding up to a block. You know, you got to hold that block for half a second longer. The snap needs to be a little bit quicker. The get off on the kick needs to be a little bit quicker. All of these things matter, not only when you're punting the football, but also on field goals. So Yeah, there's just, I think, a lot of small things there that they have to fix across the board, both in their coverage units. I wasn't particularly thrilled with their returns either. I'd like to see Luther Burden, if he's not going to touch the football more on offense, I think he's a weapon they can use on punt return and kick return.
Yeah.
And I want to see more of that because he got one return opportunity last week and he killed it. He crushed it. Everybody ignored it and forgot about it because it was right before halftime and it didn't matter. But that I would lean into that a little bit more. So I think there's a lot of things across the board in all phases of special teams that can be better this week.
Are you worried about Cairo in general, like Santos? Like he okay, it was just a bad game for him, or does there need to be serious conversations?
Well, what I'm worried about is that both of those kicks drifted to the right. So even that first field goal, you didn't feel great about it, even though he made it. And so you could sort of see it coming when he actually missed it and the ball was a little bit farther back. So, but I'm a little bit surprised. So yes, to answer your question, I'm a little worried about Cairo. I'm surprised I'm worried about Cairo though, because at no point in training camp was I worried about Cairo.
Right.
I mean, he seemed to be just going about his business and everything was fine. And maybe there was one miss here or there, but it was quickly corrected. There was no sign in camp to me that this was all of a sudden going to be an issue in the regular season. So, look, he's an experienced kicker. I think he can correct whatever it is. And sometimes kicking's a lot like golf. When you have the option on the PATs to switch the hash or move it to the middle, you can do that. You can set up field goals that way in the right moment in a game. So there's just little tweaks you can make to get back on track. But I am slightly worried. We got to make sure that this isn't something that continues on, in week two and week three.
Well, we have some breaking news. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Funny you bring up Cairo, because we just got this in from Jordan Schultz, the Schultz report on X, NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. Former 49ers kicker Jake Moody, according to sources, is signing with the Bears practice squad. Adam?
You know, when I saw that they moved on from him, and he's the former Michigan kicker, if I remember it, he was a third-round pick just a couple years ago. So he was one of these kickers that was pretty hyped up, not unlike Torrey Taylor coming out as a punter. And I saw him, them move on from him, and I'm like, I wonder if they would think about that. Just think about it. Sometimes everybody needs some competition. But Moody's also been sort of all over, he's been through some of his own struggles, obviously. Lance Briggs, who's with us at CSGO, he jokes around all the time about, free agent kickers. Or a punter, like if a punter is strong, that's a free agent punter. Because his point is, if you're a great kicker or a punter, you're never available as a free agent. So you got to keep that in mind here. I'm assuming this is just a little bit of a push to Cairo Santos. I'm not terribly surprised about it because we all saw how annoyed Ben Johnson was after the game. And even on Monday.
Hogue, I heard you say that on the post-game show that you guys did, that you were spot on. Like, it was in his voice. Like, he didn't tear him up, but you could just hear it in his voice.
You could just hear the annoyance, right?
Yes.
You could just, like, and I think I also made this point. Like, of all the players that you can get annoyed at as a head coach, it's the kicker. It just is. There's just this sort of like meatball-y, dude, just do your job. Come on, just kick the ball. You shouldn't be that hard. You know, whether that's fair or not, it's probably not. It's just for these football coaches, that's just sort of ingrained. It's so easy to get annoyed at the kicker. So, hey, here's some competition. It's interesting.
Adam Hogue, we thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, there's one job there. He's of the Hogue and Johns podcast. You can hear it on CHGO. He does a lot of work for CHGO as well. And Adam's segment is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.